Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. Always a pleasure spending time with you. And I want to introduce you to Thomas Stirner, the founder and CEO of the Practicing Mind Institute. Tom is considered an expert in present moment functioning. He works with high performance people like athletes and industry groups and individuals. Tom helps them to operate effectively in high stress situations so they can get to new levels of mastery. Now, prior to founding the Practicing Mind Institute, Thomas served as the chief concert piano technician for a major performing arts center and prepared instruments for very demanding performers. He's worked with Pavarotti, Ray Charles, Fleetwood Mac, Tony Bennett, and many more. And he's got a couple of books out. His new book is Fully Engaged, following his first bestseller, The Practicing Mind. Thomas, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Valerie. It's great to be here.
Well, I am very interested in you and your background. So before we get into your books, tell me how you went from being immersed in music and recording to building an institute based on present moment functioning, and also define what that is for us, okay?
Well, I started out, you know, very young as a musician. I was told that I should be a writer over and over again, but I was really sidetracked by composing. And as I got into working as a piano technician, I had basically three different businesses. There was a door-to-door service business. There was a full remanufacturing facility that I owned. And then there was all the concert work where I was constantly rubbing elbows with some of the people that you mentioned. And that gave me an opportunity to talk regularly with people that had reached the highest pinnacle in their art form. And also, they were very disciplined. So we had a lot of discussions about what it was like, what it felt like to be disciplined, what their definition of it was. And what happened for me was initially I was noticing in people's houses that so many people took on a music endeavor. They wanted to learn to play music. Many of them were adults, and they always failed at it. And I thought, you know, there has to be a reason for this, because I knew what the impulses were in terms of not wanting to practice, because I was no different than anybody else when I first started out. So I began to look at that, and I thought I could write a book on how I had overcome that, because initially I was a very creative-minded person, but also extremely undisciplined. Mm-hmm. And I started to study Eastern thought when I was in college, and then eventually got into sports psychology and peak performance studies. I saw how they were both just two sides of the same coin, and I had applied them to my work every day, mostly because piano work it's very redundant. I mean, everything you do on a piano, you have to do at least 88 times, because that's how many notes are. So anyway, I ended up writing The Practicing Mind, and initially it was going to be a book for just musicians. But the more I got into it, the more I realized this was how I live my life, and I put that book out, and I couldn't have imagined the reach of that book. I mean, it just became such a big deal, and it basically, I sold the whole business that I'd worked so many years for and started this career. And that really came from that. And Fully Engaged is the follow-up book.
It's so fascinating, because I too study people and in my own rudimentary way, and study how some people are completely focused, finish a project, get it to fruition, and other people have ideas and nothing happens. So I think that this book and this practice is for everybody. It's not just athletes or musicians, as you mentioned. It's for everybody in life and how to function in life. So let's talk a little bit first about the practicing mind, developing focus and discipline. Can you give me just a couple of quick headlines or pointers? I know it's difficult, but some quick pointers from that book.
Well, the one point that is made briefly in The Practicing Mind, but is talked about more extensively in Fully Engaged, the second book, is the idea of thought awareness training. You have got to become aware of what your mind is doing during the day, and most people are not. They're just in their mind. Their mind is visiting situations all day long and then creating a resulting thought, which produces emotions, and then we experience those emotions. And we need to learn to be the observer of that, so that we have a choice as to what our mind is doing. And for most people, again, that is not an option for them. They're just basically in a reactive mode all day long. So thought awareness training is one of the things. The other is to understand the whole concept of non-judgment. You know, we are in situations, we always want to judge the situation, which has nothing to do with increasing our performance. We can analyze the situation. There's a big difference between analyzing and judging. Analyzing has no emotional content to it. It's just basically looking at the situation as it is and then making a decision as to after an observation as to how to correct our motion and so that we can refine it. So I call that DOC, do, observe, correct. And the other thing is to understand patience. You know, where does impatience come from? Well, you can't become more patient if you don't know when you're being impatient. And that, you know, loops back to thought awareness training. But I think that impatience comes from a feeling of being incomplete and being too attached to the moment that we realize a goal and not participating in the joy of achieving the goal, which is where we spend 99% of our time.
So true. And also there's a sense of being in the present. I think a lot of people spend time thinking about what was and what might be.
That's correct, and that's actually nurtured in us through the marketing media, because this feeling of incompleteness that I just mentioned is very good when you're a marketing person, because you can make people feel like you can't be content in this moment, so why spend your time there? Your contentment lies someplace other than where you are right now, whether it's when you acquire this thing or you achieve this specific thing. And that feeling of incompleteness is nurtured by the marketing media, and they're connected to us all day long. So through our smartphones and our computers and our televisions. So it really gives them an opportunity to make that feeling expand in us. And I should say that I don't think that that feeling of incompleteness that we all experience, this sense of, you know, I'm just not happy, I can't put my finger on it, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it really comes from this built-in DNA programming that is there to make us want to expand and to become more and to want challenges. We all like challenges. When things are too easy for us, we're bored with them and we let them go. We're always pulled towards things that are a challenge for us. But when we misuse that and misinterpret that feeling of incompleteness, it makes us miserable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so from The Practicing Mind, which was your first book, you then wrote The Fully Engaged, which just came out. So what can we learn from Fully Engaged that is sort of a follow-up to The Practicing Mind?
Well, as I said earlier, it does go much more into detail on the whole concept of thought awareness training and what that is. But it also talks about things like understanding when you choose a goal, whatever that goal is. I mean, you need to understand the whole concept of practice. And my definition of practice is the repetition of a specific process. And it doesn't matter, that process can be mental or physical. It can be something as abstract as being better in a relationship or saving money or investing money better, or, and it can be also taking the club away on a golf swing. I mean, the whole concept of practice is repetition with the intention of accomplishing a specific thing. And when we understand that, and we understand that absolutely everything we learn in life comes through repetition of an action, to a point, repetition creates mastery, and as that happens, it creates ease of execution. So we have to understand that this is how we operate, and all of the studies show also that when we are in the present moment, when we are just completely absorbed in what we're doing right now and what is in front of us, we are operating, we're functioning at our highest level. We accomplish more with less effort, in less time, and probably most importantly, our experience of accomplishing it is one of contentment and peace. Our thoughts thin out. Our mind is, we have clarity because our mind isn't running all over the place. It's a great place to spend your day.
I'm speaking with Thomas Stirner, author of the new book, Fully Engaged. And as we have just about a moment or two left, Tom, you know, the idea of repetition is very interesting to me. And I think that there's a couple of things that may thwart that movement. One is impatience, and the other is judgment. I teach voiceover, And a lot of my students want instant success, and it just doesn't happen that way. They have to go through the process. So do you find that that is one of the things, or those are two of the things that stop people from moving forward?
Absolutely. And because what happens is when we choose a goal, we immediately become attached to the moment when we feel like we're going to achieve the goal. And that puts us at war with the process of achieving it. So we become very attached to this perception that we're going to get to this place and we're going to feel like now I'm good. But as we get better, our perspective and our interpretation of what good is always changing. And it should be, but we forget that. And when we lose sight of that, we find ourselves in this feeling of longing and feeling of struggle and all these things that come about from not being happy in this moment and not be actually being absorbed in this moment.
Well, I think this book is very useful for anybody. As you mentioned, for athletes and for musicians, but anybody, the book is fully engaged. Thomas Sterner, the author, thank you so much for joining us on America Weekend, Tom.
Thank you, Valerie. It was a pleasure.
I'm Valerie Smaldone on the Envision Radio Network. America
Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So do people with brighter teeth have a better life? Finally, the science and cheap trick of it. Many people have decided that pearly white just isn't white enough. But why the desire for bright white teeth?
Let's put a smile on that face.
Good teeth, good hair, clean skin, they're all evolutionary signs of good health. As a result, it's a mating signal that the person with a gorgeous smile may be a viable partner. But there's an itty-bitty problem. The long-term effects of these over-the-counter teeth whitening products are still being evaluated. What's the cheap psychological trick? Of course, check with your dentist, but if your teeth are brighter than the whites of your eyes, or if they glow in the dark, this look of good health may be negated. If all they see is your teeth, they may look no further. Got a question or a comment? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. Fred bumped Linda's car from behind, but before Linda could say anything, he offered her $2,000 if she would not report the accident. They exchanged information, and on the $2,000 check, Fred wrote, "Cashing check releases Ryder of all liability." Linda cashed the check, but was later diagnosed with whiplash. She needed 3 months of extensive therapy. Can Linda recover her losses from the driver who caused them? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
By cashing the check, Linda accepted the conditions which released the driver who hit her of any further liability. Linda made a costly mistake, and that's the final verdict.